truly we give honor to God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Who has been more than good to all of us.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
And we all ought to want more of Him.
Yes, yes.
We all ought to want to be filled up.
Yes, thank you.
More of God in all of us.
Yes.
Because He's worthy.
Yes, He is.
He's worthy. He's worthy. We thank the choir for ending that and letting us know that we want more. Do you want more of Him? Oh, come on, somebody. I need more of Him. When the enemy came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled because the Lord put a hedge around me. And if you want more of Him, you trust Him, you depend on Him, and He'll give you more. Amen, amen. Grace be unto you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. We say that it's good to be here. It is good to be in the land of the living. Amen. It's good because He said that everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. So God has appointed and anointed you to do something for Him. Amen. He has appointed and anointed you to do something for Him. David tells us in Psalm, he said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name." So there is some glory due to God from you. Don't get quiet on me. That's what Psalms 29 says. So you pick it up and you read it, because you have a divine responsibility to give God glory. Amen, amen. Again, we greet you in the marvelous name of Jesus Christ, and we said it's good to be here. We certainly thank our presider, Reverend Pearson, and we missed her on last Sunday. Amen, and Deacon Pearson, but we thank you that you made it back, and others who were out as well. Amen, amen. A very familiar passage of Scripture that we all are familiar with, the 23rd Psalm, and I will look at this from a different perspective and catch this later in revival. Amen. Amen. At a night that the Lord has appointed me to do that. The 23rd Psalm, one which is so commonly quoted, so often quoted during our distress moments. But we're going to look at this. If you would just put your finger on it for a moment. But we have to give God reverence by asking Him to manifest His Spirit in us. That we have to be in His presence. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And we do that through prayer. God, we thank You, Lord, for You are a mighty good God. And we know that we can do all things, and You can do all things but fail. And so, Father, the time has come for Your word to be preached. We ask that the real preacher would only use me as a vessel, that will show up, use me as a vessel, Lord, that somebody, O Lord, will be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Somebody, O Lord, will know that You can do all things, and somebody, unchurched, unsaved, will come and say, "What must I do to be saved?" We ask, O Lord, that You will bless us, manifest Your Holy Spirit upon us, interpret Your word to us, O Lord, that we can say, "Did not our hearts burn within?" We ask in Jesus' name that You give us clarity. In Jesus' name, You give us purpose. In Jesus' name, You make us ambassadors, that when we leave this spot, we will go out and tell somebody about the goodness of Your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask. And for His name's sake, we pray, O Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. The 23rd Psalm. And I'm only going to read this one verse. He says, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So we'd like to use as a subject this morning, God is my everything. God is my everything. Thanks of God, it is without any form of skepticism, in that every believer here today can say that all they are, all they ever hope to be, they owe to our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You see, without Christ, we have no hope. Without Christ, we have no joy. Without Christ, we have no true love or no true happiness. And so, in the Spirit of the Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice today will leave here trusting and believing that He, God, is my everything. Because without him today, you are lost. Goodwill, my brothers and my sisters, my friends, I submit to you on this day that the Lord has created, in that because of him, all the glory belongs to him. No one here today that is saved can say, I am saved because I did this. I am saved because I did that. Why? Because all of us that are saved here today are saved because of what he did. And so just in case you're not a Bible reader, you're not a Bible scholar, Paul tells us of what God did for us through grace. Paul pens God's action in 2 Timothy 9, verse 1 through 9, 11. He says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, come on somebody, and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I don't know about you, but when I think about all of what God through Jesus Christ did for me, my heart and my soul rejoice the more, knowing that I was bought with a price through grace and mercy. God is my everything. And so when I or you read the printed text in Psalms 23, you like me will discover that God is my everything. You see, all who read the psalm, regardless of your age, regardless of your race, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of who you are, find in the quiet beauty of this psalm a range of depth and spiritual insight that both satisfies and possesses their soul. You see, it is the psalms that breathe confidence and trust in the Lord. Here in this psalm, the psalmist has no preference of complaints about the pain and sickness or the treachery of the enemies. But he begins as he ends only with words of grateful acknowledgement of the never failing goodness of the Lord. And so to that end, he says that he is my everything. We say that he is my everything because first, he changed me. Come on, somebody. I need your help in here. God is my everything and he's your everything because he changed me. Oh, look at somebody and say, he's my everything because he changed me. Come on, somebody. If the truth be told, you weren't always sitting up here on Sunday morning. But God changed you. If the truth be told, you were at the club last night, and by this time, sometime then, you would have been home sleeping. But he changed you. Come on, somebody. If the truth be told, that was Saturday night. Friday night, you were still clubbing. But he changed you. Come on, somebody. Thursday night, when you were in college, you were clubbing. But he changed you. Wednesday night, instead of coming to Bible study, you were doing what you did. But he changed you. He's my everything. I need some help in here because he changed me. And you ought to be able to look back over your life in the rearview mirror and say, it's behind me. What's before me is what God has for me because he changed me. I ain't got to look back. I ain't got to go back. I'm going forward. Why? Because the Lord is my everything. The Lord is my shepherd and I ain't want for nothing. I need some help in here. Holler back at me. David said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Here in this verse, David wants us to know that God did something to him because he was broken. He was messed up. He was in need. He says, he restoreth. Come on, somebody. Anybody here need restoration like me? He said, he restoreth my soul. In other words, he changed me. I don't know about you, but I too certainly can identify with the psalms because it's not like I was perfect. and I had it going on, all going on like some other folks. But I was and I am still imperfect. I had and I still do have many flaws that God was not and God is not pleased with. I had and I still do have some ways about me that God was not and is not pleased with. I had and I still do have some thoughts that about life in that God is not pleased with. And to top it off, if judgment was before me, it was my time to die and to meet God. It was my time to bow my knees and confess my sin. It was my time to give an account before the Lord of what I had did and what I had not done. Then awful would be my case. But I thank God. I'm going to get happy by myself. Through Jesus Christ that he changed me, because I was not fit to live, David. I was not fit to die, but God, talk to me somebody, God, the creator looked beyond my faults. God, the creator looked beyond what I had done, and as the truth be told, he looked beyond your faults too. God saw that he did not create me into what I had allowed the enemy to mold and shape me into being. So he changed me by restoring me into what he wants me to be. You are the way you are because God has changed you and he has restored you. See, when folks see you, they ought to see love because God changed you and restored you. When some folks see you, they ought to see happiness and joy. Why? Because God changed you and he restored you. When folks see you, they ought to be able to get the word from you because there was a time you didn't know the word, but because you know God. God change you and restore you, and you can tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus Christ. David puts it another way by saying, so in Psalms 40, he said how God changed him. In Psalms 40 verse 2, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Holler back at me somebody if you know what I'm talking about. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established. That's restoration. Come on. He said, and establish my going. I was so low. I was in a mess that I was in. But he, come on somebody, God who put the sun in the star, God who put the moon there, God who put the stars there, God had enough love to look at us. And David said, he, and bring us out of the miry clay. And now he said, establish my going. See, that's why you're here on Sunday, because he established your going on Sunday. You don't go other places, you go to church. Help in here, he established your goings. Goodwill, let's be honest. Somebody in here today is stuck on not wanting to be changed by God. You think that nobody can tell you nothing, but you got to let go of that thing and let God have his way with you if you want God to be your everything. In the spirit of the Lord, I'm here to tell you, Goodwill and friends and family, that God wants you to come to him just as you are, because he wants you to give him your life. He wants you to give him your ways and your problems. That's why Paul says in Hebrews 12, let us lay aside. Come on, somebody. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And he also reminds us in Ephesians 6, 10 and 12, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against rulers, against the darkness of this world, and against the spiritual wickedness in high places. I wish I had some unsaved, unchurched person who would just be strong in the Lord and come and give me your hand and give God your heart. But give God your heart and let him change you. And so as we look further into our text, not only is God my everything because, number one, he changed me. But secondly, he's my everything because I trust him to be with me at all times. Come on, somebody. I'm going to show it to you. I trust God to be with me at all times. Verse 4 says, he says, yea, though I walk through. The valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't lament. He said, I will fear no evil. Why? He says, for thou. Come on, somebody. He said, for thou are with me. It is without doubt that all of us are on a journey in this life in which we have been afforded to live. If the truth be told, we are all journeying through this dying land to live again in glory's land. And so as we are on this journey called life, all of us will experience both good and bad in life. We will experience both ups and downs in life. We will have valleys to trod and high mountains to climb. But know this, God is always for you more than you may realize it when you're going through or when you are going to go through problems in your life. David echoes what happens to us physically and spiritually when we're going through. He echoes that. He right here in verse 4 of our text, physically he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Physically, he wants us to know we will have problems, we will have difficulties, we will have challenges in life. Yes, yet, spiritually, he wants us to know that no matter what the situation looks like, Sister Higgins, God is there with you. How he says, I will fear no evil for thou. Come on, that's the time you get happy. He said, for thou are with me. I don't know about you, Goodwill, but it's good to know that whatever I'm going through in my life, be it good or bad, it's good to know that I can trust God to be there with me. It's good to know that I can trust God to make things better when things look dark and gloomy in my life. It's good to know that I can trust God to know that when weapons are formed against me, when people and problems get in my way, they won't prosper against me. Why? Because thou art there with me. And so I need to encourage somebody in here to keep holding on. I need to let you know, let somebody here to know who is having a valley experience in their life at this time and this moment. God is with you, even though you can't see or trace him. So don't give up nor give in to the tricks of the devil. God has not forgotten or forsaken you. As Moses encouraged Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, I too am sent by God to encourage you as well. Moses said to Joshua, you remember, Moses said to Joshua, he says, what we all need to hear right now during our valley experience. In Joshua 31, 6, he says, be strong. Come on, somebody. In your valley experience, he says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God is with you when you're going through what you're going through. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And so thoroughly as to why God is my everything is, I can depend on God to protect me. Come on, somebody. He's my everything because he changed me. He's my everything because I trust him to be with me at all times. And thirdly, he's my everything because I depend on God to protect me. Can I help me? Can I show you? He says, thy, in verse 4, the latter cause, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. No, make no mistake about this. All of us in here will go through some valley experiences. Trouble will come to to all of us. The enemy is out to get all of us and make us believe that there is no God. But no matter this, you can depend on God to protect you no matter what. Know this, the enemy will come to do battle with you. In our text, David does not stress about what the enemy is doing, but he rejoices in knowing that God, what God is going to do for him while he's in the valley. Woo, y'all making it hard for me. He rejoices, come on somebody, about what God is going to do for him while he's in the valley. I need you to get happy with me because I'm about to close this right here. I need you to right now begin to put a praise on your problem. Yes, you're in the valley, but I want you to praise God knowing that God is with you, knowing that God is going to protect you, knowing that God is going to bring you up out of your valley. He started praising as well. He said, thou preparest a table, come on somebody, in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. He runs my cup over. Oh, you won't go lacking for nothing. He's going to make you holy in the presence of your enemies. And surely, oh, surely. Come on somebody, I know you're down. Come on somebody, I know it hurts. Come on somebody, I know you're crying. I know you can't sleep at night. But he said, surely, surely goodness, surely mercy shall follow me. Oh, I hope I have some help in it all the days of my life, and I will dwell. I ain't gonna turn my back on God. I ain't gonna walk on God because things are going bad and wrong, messed up in my life. He said, I will dwell. I'm coming to church, and when I come to church, I'm gonna get on my knees, and when I get on my knees, I'm gonna praise my God, and when I praise my God, I'm gonna look to the hills from whence come my help, because my help, holler back at me, my help comes from the Lord. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When, for how long? He said, forever, forever, forever. I don't care how bad it gets, forever, I'm going to stay with God. I don't care how bad the situation look, forever, I'm going to stay with God. I don't care how messed up I am on the inside and on the outside, I'm going to stay praising God in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. I'm closing. So I need to let somebody know that your valley situation, in the words of Yolanda Adams, is not yours. Come on somebody, it's not yours. God is my everything. Your valley situation, in the words of Yolanda Adams, is not yours. Come on somebody, look at the person next to you and say, it's not yours, but it's the Lord. The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. Why? Because there's no pain that Jesus can't feel, no hurt that he cannot heal, for all things work according to his perfect will. That's what Yolanda says. He says, no matter what you're going through, remember God is using you, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. There's no sadness that Jesus can't feel. There's no sorrow that he cannot heal. For all things work according to the master's holy will, no matter what you're going through. Come on, somebody. Remember that God is only using you, for the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. The Lord. It's the Lord. Yes, it's the Lord. Hold your head up high and don't you cry. It's the Lord. Come on somebody, tell yourself, it's the Lord. What I'm going through, it's the Lord. Yes, it's the Lord. No matter what you're going through, remember that God only wants to use you. For the valley battle, it's not yours, it's the Lord. No matter what happens to you, no matter what you go through right now, remember that in the midst of it all, God only wants to use you. That's why David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow. Surely, no matter what you're going through, for the battle is not yours. Hold your head up, stick your chest out, and remember, he's using you. It's not your battle, it's the Lord. Why? Because God is my everything. He changed me to praise him. He changed me to praise him when I'm going through what I'm going through. That's why he's my everything. And I trust him when I'm going through my valley to protect me and to take care of me. That's why he's my everything. And I can depend on him no matter what to protect me at all times. When I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't know about you, but God is my everything. He's my everything. Do I have some valley experience? Yes. Do I feel like death and nothing but wrong is all around me? Yes. But despite what's around me, I ain't gonna worry about that, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'ma stay with God. Can you do that for me, Goodwill? Can you do that? Can you do that, Goodwill? Please do that for me. Please know that God is your everything. He's your everything. He's your everything. Why? Because it took less than it did in creation, than it did on crucifixion for you. You see, in creation, it only took some words. Come on, somebody. But during the time of restoration and crucifixion, it took blood. Come on, somebody. That's why he's my everything. Why? He said, what can wash away my sins? Come on, somebody. Nothing but the what? Blood of Jesus. What can make me what? Whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It took more on crucifixion than it did in creation. You were bought with a price. And because of that, he is. Come on, somebody. What time is it? It's before 12:30. I told you, I promised you last week, I feel out before 12:30. Mac made it hard for me. He is my everything. Know this. He changed me. And if you want him to be your everything and you're not changed, you're not saved, you're unchurched and unsaved, now is the time to give me your hand and give God your heart. Yes. We ask that we rest upon our feet and we can open the door of the church and let somebody know that God is everything you need him to be.